Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And on this week's Screen Verdict podcast, we're going to be talking about a show that's been out for a little while. But if you're currently stuck at home, a show that you might have time to binge and catch up on. Matt, what are we reviewing this week?
Succession.
Everybody knows the famous theme song where they all strike a pose and simultaneously say, Succession.
Yeah, I don't know why I always think of the title to that tune. I think it's like a Fiddler on the Roof song, isn't it, where they say tradition? But I don't know why. I just have made that connection in my head.
It does actually have a very cool theme song.
An Emmy-winning theme song.
The theme song's so good, it makes me want to learn how to play the piano.
Whoa! Well, something else you might have some time for now, Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the two at once. Two birds, one stone. Watch Succession, play the theme song.
It's just so we don't mislead people. Like it's not really a theme song. It's more like theme music, right? Like there's no words.
No, I do like to sing along to it, although there is no words. I go, dun-dun, dun 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 dun.
Oh, I thought you added words. I thought you had, like, your own little...
Oh, yeah, it starts playing and I just start riffing. Ooh, it's a show about business. Yeah, everybody's backstabbing each other.
Backstabbing
each other. Yeah, that's a banger. If anyone knows anyone at HBO, let's make this happen.
Yeah.
So, Matt, we're going to do... Maybe we'll give people a quick introduction to the show.
I think there'll be a lot of people who haven't seen this show.
So it is a show about a man, Logan Roy, who owns a multimedia business empire. He's a billionaire. He's got television stations, he's got newspapers, websites. It's a giant media conglomerate, is that right?
Yes, like it seems like he has like a lot of money because too. Like he's quite rich.
Yes, yeah, super wealthy. I don't know if they put a number on it, but it's definitely in the billions. And he's getting quite old though. I'm not sure how old he is, but probably late 70s, I guess. I know. How old do you reckon Logan is?
Yeah, I'd say like 73 or something like that, maybe. Like,
a weathered 73.
And he's old, right? Like, which means there's a question of who will succeed him, and that's where Succession comes into the show.
I'm glad you connected those two, because I was gonna use the verb inherit the entire podcast. yes, so that is, there's a lot of battles going on in the show, but he has, let's see, four children. We have.
So in some ways, like just starting off, your four, you would say, leading candidates to succeed.
Yes, because his company, has the name in it. What's it? It's like Waystar Royco or something like that. And he is Roy, Logan Roy. So you'd imagine anyone with the name Roy, preferably last name, preferably related to him, would probably be at the top of the heap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe we'll talk about the kids and we'll each pick a kid that we think, I mean, I say kid, they're all like,
yeah,
in their 30s and 40s. Which of these kids we would leave the business to if we owned Waystar Royco?
Oh, yeah, I like this because I definitely have an answer to this.
Okay, so we have Kendall.
We haven't given a spoiler warning at the moment. Do we keep it sort of like just on the key stats, not necessarily storyline developments?
Interesting. I think the show's been out for a while. We've given an introduction, I think, to talk about why we should pick one of these kids or not, I think we might have to talk about some plot points.
Okay, so should we do a, just a little spoiler warning, just for people who are interested in watching the show, this is one of those shows where you've got, like, lavish, expensive, sort of, like, they can do whatever they want. They do all these crazy rich people things. They're always in it. They're always, like, they're always in their private jets or, booked out the whole hotel or island or fancy yacht or whatever. Like, it just seems like they're always, they do everything by 100, these guys.
Yes, I would say if you liked Game of Thrones, you will like Succession. Succession is basically Game of Thrones, but instead of castles, you got mansions. Instead of dragons, you got helicopters. Instead of battles, you've got boardrooms. Okay? But there's a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of alliances. There's a lot of backstabbing. There's a lot of intrigue. You pick your side. You play the game. You win or you die. Okay?
Yeah.
That's my Succession pitch without spoilers.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest difference is, like, less people dying, right? Like, and I don't mean in, like, physically dying, but
they
mean,
die,
like,
business deaths, career deaths.
Yeah, but it seems like people have these second lives in it seems like, you know, this person, like, they've burnt out in season one or whatever, but they're still plotting away, and they might make a comeback in season two or season three or whatever. Though I guess some people came back to life in Game of Thrones, so.
Yeah, it's like the old Walking Dead theory. If you don't see them, their career really die, for sure. The finishing blow on the career death, they might turn up in a later episode.
Yeah, if they don't get Me Too'd, they're still in the game. But, like, that's not actually a storyline, but...
Yes, things to come. Matt's predictions for season three, perhaps. Yeah. So there you go. That's the pitch. That's the rough premise. So now we'll get into some more plot points with a spoiler warning.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! Woo! All right. So let's go through the kids. Let's start off with Kendall.
Don't mean to overrule you. Should we start with Logan? Should we start with the head of the tree?
Oh, that's fair. So we told, you know, he's a rich guy. He owns this business. But what kind of guy is he, Matt?
He is a tough guy. I feel like he would describe himself as tough but fair, but I'm not sure if he is fair. He seems like the kind of guy who would say I'm tough but fair.
Yes.
But still seems like he plays favourites. He's sometimes very unreasonable. There's a leak at one point, and I think, like, he, I don't know, gets three people who may have been the leak on the floor, throws a sausage on the floor and says whoever doesn't eat the sausage is the leak, which doesn't seem like the best way of figuring out who a leak is.
Yes. Yeah, it does. You often have to wonder whether this is the most effective decision or whether it's just the most enjoyable decision for Logan.
Yes. I guess, like, maybe his purpose there was not to find the leaker, but to go, look at how much, like, I'm in control of the situation. I've made these three grown men, like, grovel on the floor trying to eat a sausage off the ground.
Yes, it feels like even though these people work for him and are even related to him, he never, even for a minute, wants to let anyone forget that he is the boss. I am the boss. I will do you no favors. If you cross me, I will cut your head off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Not a fan. Not a fan of Logan. I think he's a smart guy, and I think he's an interesting player in the game, and I think he's a good... I don't know, would you think it's fair to call him a villain in the show?
That's an interesting question, because I think you're right. Like, he's a horrible dude in a lot of ways, and not a great father, all those sorts of things. But there is something very likable about Logan too. He's sort of like, there's something, you know, about, he's the old guy. He's the guy who's been here. He's sort of, sometimes, especially when you see the kids running around like chickens with their heads cut off or like doing stupid things. Like, oh, glad Logan's here running the show. Like, so, yeah, it's hard to know. Like, I do want to... He's not the person I'm rooting for in the series, but sometimes I'm more on his side than the person who's going up against him.
I think something that works in Logan's favour is the lack of heroes.
Yes. No one's likable in this show.
The waters are very murky. If there was someone that I loved that was trying to achieve something in direct opposition to Logan... I would love them and I would hate Logan. But everybody's motives are kind of intertwined. There are people that I go through liking and then at times I dislike them. And so that, I feel like, benefits Logan greatly.
Yeah, there's no Tyrion Lannister. There's no Arya Stark. There's no Daenerys Targaryen. There's no, like, real heroes in the story.
Okay, let's... Let's give an award, because in such a show, I think this deserves an award. Who gets the award for most likable character?
Okay, I'm just looking at the list of the characters right now. You've got Logan, Kendall, Shiv, Ronan, Tom, Greg, Connor. Okay, like... I've got two contenders for most likable.
All right, hit me.
Roman or Greg?
I will give you that Roman is definitely the funniest character on the show. Definitely not the most likable. Horrible, horrible guy. Hilarious, but horrible.
See, they've got a bit of a heart there, though.
I feel like we're watching a different show. So he's definitely a bright spot in the show, though. Played by Kieran Culkin. So we're kind of melding our two subjects together, the kids and likable character. But Roman, he's the third son, the youngest son. He's pretty immature, does not really take a lot of things in life seriously. He definitely seems like the son of a billionaire. But he kind of gets sick of everyone treating him like a joke and does eventually try to be productive, work his way up at the company to be considered an asset, to maybe be considered a successor for the throne.
Yeah, it is interesting. In season one, in the pilot, he seems totally disinterested in the company. He just wants to have his fun. He just, you know, wants to make jokes and wisecracks. By season two, he is playing for taking over the company.
Yes. Yeah. I'll give it to you. There is something likable about Roman. There's a great scene where Logan's brother has come to visit. And I think because he has maybe a seat on the board, everyone's trying to win his favor, to win a vote on the board. And he just loses it. He eviscerates everyone, says, what a sham this night is, the company, this decision, each and every person. He just blasts them in front of the whole family. And there's this pause. And Roman says, but other than that, you had a good time though? And it like, killed me, just like, just this family turmoil, the most awkward, like, intense situation, and Roman just cuts right through it. It was genius.
I think, just to defend my he's one of the most likable characters on the show, is that he's sort of like I feel like it's more likable the guy who knows he's a jerk and sort of plays it up a bit than the people who act like they're like not jerks but are jerks.
Yes, like, there's no pretension.
There's no pretension to Roman. You're sort of like, so again, he's one of those guys who acts like a jerk and he's less of a jerk in real life than he acts. Whereas most of the other characters act like they're not jerks, but are much bigger jerks than they would like to think of themselves or present. Where like Roman, he starts out this jerky guy, and then like when he opens up or when he says, oh, there is actually like a human under all that. Like he's the, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When he went to like the management school and you could see that he was, you know, having to start from the bottom, but was actually trying to come up with good ideas, you did start to root for him a little bit. You're like, oh, no, do I want this guy just to be the joke of the family forever? I don't know.
Yeah. He's a bit of an underdog too, which helps him. But yeah, no, Roman. So you love Roman. Such a fun character. You really grew on me as the series.
Yeah, fun character. You also pitch me Greg the Egg. What makes Greg likable to you?
I think he's just the ultimate underdog, right? Yes. Like, you know, and I don't know. Yeah, I'll say this now. Like, first episode, he's working at the theme park and he vomits in the costume. Like, this really, like, because I don't know, kids are kicking him or whatever. I don't know, whatever. Like, he throws up in the costume of the mascot of the theme park where he's working. And he's able to, like, from the lowest of lows, climb, get his way into this company. Don't know if he argues from being likable. The ultimate weasel. He weasels his way in. And I was like, by the end of the first episode, I thought, you know, there's a greater than 0% chance that this series, whenever this series ends, it ends with Greg running the show. Because he starts in the lowest position out of anyone. So it's the ultimate underdog story. And I think the only reason I don't think that's going to happen is because I think it's a bit too predictable. Like, is that's the end of the show?
You think that would be too Game of Thrones? My Game of Thrones comparison would be too literal.
I didn't even think that, but like, yeah. Like, I think like it's too obvious, maybe. But I think there's a chance that that happens, or that at least at some point, Greg's running everything. But there's something really likable about a guy who came from nothing, and he's sort of like, and I know obviously he's got his family wealth and things like that, but a guy who's just sort of by his own persistence and his own just sticking around, he's been able to just survive where others haven't, and seems to better his position and standing in the family more often than go backwards. And there's something fun and likable about seeing that.
Yeah, I thought Greg was a bit of a dropkick, a bit of a moocher at the start of the show. But he does start to prove his worth. And he does have a bit of a moral compass. There are times where Tom is his boss, and Tom is also Shiv's boyfriend / husband, depending on where we are in this show, who is awful. Tom is awful. And there are times where Greg will check Tom. There are times that he'll kind of fight back against Tom. And they have this weird relationship where Tom is like constantly making fun of Greg, being mean to Greg, getting him to do bad things. And Greg will kind of take it and then show a little bit of resistance. And then take it and then get one back on Tom. And I'm always rooting for Greg in the Greg v. Tom battles.
Don't you love Tom, though? I love Tom.
Tom's a fascinating character because there are certain situations where he is just so overbearing. He is so dominating. He is so cruel and mean and vindictive. And there are other scenarios where he is so weak and weaselly and pathetic and transparent. And it's kind of like the ultimate example of a bully being bullied. Like someone will say, oh, they're only bullying you because someone's bullying them. And you think, nah, I don't think so. I think they're just like tough and mean. It's like, well, no, he is definitely the bully that's getting bullied.
Yeah. I think what I love about Tom is, like, I think he's just so funny. I find him such a funny character. And there is that real vulnerability there at times that you see, and you sort of that makes him a bit likable and a bit sort of like you can feel empathy for Tom at times, but you just also love seeing him fail because yeah. He is so seeing Tom out of his depth is, I think, one of the funniest things on TV. Like, and I just like, one of my favorite moments is him in the hearing where he just gets the Senate hearing where he just gets thrown, like he just answers the questions so badly, and I just love seeing him answer the questions as badly as he did, because you know he's a disaster and he doesn't quite get how much of a disaster he is.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see him walk into these situations where he's super out of his depth.
One of the lowest moments for Tom had to be where Shiv tells Tom that she thinks that her dad Logan might make her the boss.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, but I thought the play was for me to take over. And like, collectively, are we not all like, seriously, Tom? You seriously think that A, Logan would ever pick you, and B, that Shiv doesn't think that she would do a better job than you, that the play was not ever really for Shiv to get the job, you absolute ninny.
Yeah. What we're talking about, Greg and Tom, the big thing with them is sort of that there's some big sexual assault thing on the yacht, not involving either of those two guys, but Tom is told about it. He needs some documents destroyed to protect the company, and he gets Greg to go do that. And Greg keeps a few copies of that
document. As leverage.
For leverage. And it's also a great scene when Tom finds out that Greg goes like, I don't know, Greg's like, yeah, I want a better job now. I do have these, like, and he keeps some of that stuff. And Tom's like, oh, okay, good play, Greg. Good play. Okay, I respect that.
Didn't know you had it in you, buddy.
Yeah, good. Oh, I underestimated you. Well done. And then, like, a few episodes later, he's like, now, Greg, actually, this stuff's getting real. Like, you got the job. I've got to destroy this stuff now. Gave you the credit. Like,
it was well done. It was similarly funny where Greg admitted to Tom that he had spoken to the person writing the book. Yeah. And he's like, oh, should I come forward? And Tom was like, no, absolutely not. In fact, why did you tell me? I've got you over a barrel now, Greg. You absolute idiot. Like, yeah. Now, big fan of Greg, probably deserves the award. I'll throw one other name in there just to get your reaction. What do you think of Jerry?
Who's Jerry? Yeah, oh, Jerry. She works for the company, right?
Yeah, she's kind of like, she's pretty high up. She's kind of legal counsel, perhaps.
She's been there for a long time.
Yes.
And she starts sort of an affair with Roman, right? Like in season two.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. She's kind of always responsible for disciplining Roman, and then that sort of becomes like a sexual attraction for Roman, so they kind of have like this sort of thing between them, although they're not actually physically together. It's pretty weird, but anyway, I put that more on Roman than Jerry, although Jerry does sort of seem to start to get into it.
Yeah.
And it, perhaps not the highlight of the pitch for why Jerry's the most likable person on the show. I just feel like I'm usually on her side of the argument. I think she's very logical, sensical. She doesn't seem to really be trying to backstab anyone. She's just trying to do the best for the company, make the best out of the situation. Kind of calls everyone on their BS, which is kind of I enjoy. Not the funniest character, but perhaps the person I mean, I don't relate to any of these people, but if I had to pick one, maybe Jerry?
Yeah, I don't know. I find she's often just sitting there, like, nodding. Like, she's never making the big move. She's always a part of someone else's plan rather than driving anything on her own.
That's true. Matt likes the big playmakers.
Yeah, like, make some moves, Jerry. Like, do something else, you know.
All right, Greg the Egg, most likable character on Succession.
Love Greg.
So we talked a bit about Roman. What are the other three kids in line to succeed Logan?
Well, what you say is in the pilot episode, your front runner for the succession is Kendall. So he seems to be working in the business, sort of taking on some of the responsibilities. It is expected in the pilot that he will be taking over the business by the end of the pilot. He gets Michael Bluft. the surprise announcement that it is not him taking over the business. So he is sort of your on paper. He's been working in the business. Now, he's a recovering drug addict. So that's sort of something that is always bubbling away as a liability. And he actually in season one tries to take it over. He unfortunately gets stuck. He has to meet with another board member. He gets a helicopter to their house. There's then some terrorist threat in New York. They shut down the airlines. He has to, I know, run through the New Jersey tunnel or something. Misses the meeting. Riser at the very end in a sweat. Already Logan's rallied the vote for him in that time. Disaster. He then has another play that seems a lot better later in the season to take it over, but then he accidentally murders someone, which really, really puts him on the back foot to take over the company.
Yeah, it's been a real roller coaster for Kendall. Initially, I thought he was the person that I liked the most. He seemed to have very good business sense. Not as cutthroat as his father, maybe lacking the killer instinct, but a smart guy, competent guy, has a big plan when he gets screwed over by his dad, falls through, comes up with another, even dirtier plan, teaming up with, I'm forgetting his name, but basically his dad's like arch nemesis guy in order to take over the company. But yeah, he starts using drugs again. Goes to score some drugs with someone that works at the castle or wherever they are, and they get into a car crash. He survives, the other guy doesn't, and is kind of neutered for the most of season two. His Logan knows, so he's like, I basically own you. I'm gonna bring you back in to the company because you're my son, but you're now going to do whatever I tell you to do. And he really does nothing interesting, makes no plays for, I don't know how many episodes, 9 of the 10 episodes in season two.
Yeah. It's almost like he's on probation. Like, yeah.
So, I don't know. To put this in, we're going to have to review all of them. It's possible that he's the best of a bad bunch, but just looking at it in a vacuum, not a great choice. Not a great choice to take over your company, don't you think, Matt?
No, you can't. You can't have someone who's killed someone.
I don't know. What would you what would you classify that as? Because...
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't driving.
Yeah, okay. Because, so he got... Was he driving? He was driving, right? He was driving high. And then didn't he drive into a river or something and then the person drowned? I think that sort of is murder, isn't it? Like if you're drunk driving and you hit someone and kill them, is that murder?
At least manslaughter, but I didn't think he was driving. Let me see if I can the description doesn't say it. Look, this is how I remember it, and it could be wrong. But I feel like the other guy was driving, but the other guy was starting to pass out because he was under the influence. Then they're about to hit a deer, and Kendall, while not in the driver's seat, then grabs the steering wheel to steer away from the deer, and they go off the bridge. So, look, it's obviously not great. Someone's died. Illegal substances were involved. But I don't think it's murder. Like... Yeah. He didn't intend to kill anyone. In fact, that the act that he did was to try to avoid an accident. Manslaughter at worst. Definitely not murder. He felt bad about it. I mean,
avoid an accident hitting a deer.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, obviously, how you feel afterwards.
Crossing the road.
Yeah. Look, how you feel afterwards does not affect the legality of it, but it does affect our opinion of the character's morality.
Yes.
Yeah. And now, so the fact that it hits him so hard, I think, helps us kind of stay at least somewhat on board with Kendall.
Yeah, and I think you could argue the greatest crime was him not calling the police straight afterwards.
The cover-up.
Like, that's it. Like, you know Ted Kennedy? The senator.
Yes.
You know he did that.
No.
He drove a girl into a car accident, very similar situation. She died, and then he didn't call the police or anything.
Oh, do you?
That's why he couldn't run for president in 1976.
So what you're saying is the show will not end up with Kendall running for president.
Well, then Ted Kennedy challenged Jimmy Carter in 1980 for the party's nomination.
So he might. Okay, so we're not on board with Kendall, but we haven't reviewed all the kids yet. What do you think about... let's save Shiv for last. What do you think about Connor?
Connor
Roy.
Interesting.
The eldest son.
Because on Wikipedia, they've got the cast list, and it's sort of like Logan, Kendall, Shiv, Roman, all the kids. Then they do a Tom and Greg before going to Connor.
So we think we know Wikipedia's opinion on this question.
Well, I was most excited for Connor before I started this series. Because he's played by Alan Ruck, who was on one of my favourite sitcoms from the 90s, Spin City.
Yes, also in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, a classic. Mm.
So this guy has to be the most delusional member of the family.
Yes, he does not work for the company. He's off doing his own thing. And
on a rant. Or something.
You think that might make him the most normal of the kids? Oh, yeah, no, he's not concerned with the billionaire lifestyle, the competitive business, you know, fighting for the scraps or whatever. It's like, no, he's actually the weirdest of them all. He has a bunch of strange business ideas. He is paying for his girlfriend to be with him, funding her theater production. And then comes up with the grand idea to run for president.
Yeah.
despite no experience in really anything. Not even just politics, just no experience anywhere. But he has these grand ideas, mostly just, I think, based on there essentially should be no government, no taxes. And he thinks that, yeah, if I just spend a bunch of money putting these ads out there, people are going to agree with me for sure. Like, he literally thinks he has a chance to win.
Yeah, like, and I think part of it comes from, like, he's seen, like, some of these other politicians he doesn't think too much of that are running for president. Go, like, those guys aren't great. Like, if they can, do it, like, I think people would like me better than them, right?
Like, which is shows such a lack of awareness of A, how the political system works, and B, how literally everyone views him. Like, nobody likes him.
Yeah, but I think the interesting thing is he does have these con heads or whatever. There is this group of supporters that we don't know how big or small they are that are making, you know, gifs of him and, like, you know, getting really excited about him. So that sort of feeds his confidence that he's doing well, right? Because he just, like, listens to the con heads and he goes, oh, the con heads are saying, like, that was a really good thing.
Yeah, that's probably, like, the worst possible thing that could have happened for him is that a small bunch of people would agree with him and then a lot of people would click on the content because it's now a thing, because it has a hashtag, because they think it's funny. Like, he doesn't realize, even though, like, yeah, he does have some supporters, the majority of the people clicking, you know, the million people that watched his YouTube video that he thinks has gone viral is because it's a joke. Like, he doesn't realize that he is a joke to people. He is definitely the most pathetic child and would be last. He would be my last pick to run the company.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. 100%. Yeah. So then we have Shiv.
Shiv, the only daughter. I was going to say the only female daughter, but I think that's tautology. Shiv, yes. So she is with Tom. Not really sure why. I feel like she's more attractive than Tom. I feel like she's smarter than Tom. A better person than Tom.
Maybe she just loves Tom.
Yeah, maybe. Don't know why. But that's... I don't have to be married to him. Shiv does. So what do I care? I think she's pretty smart. But I think she overestimates how smart she is. I think she thinks everybody else is a buffoon and no one gives her a chance. But, you know, when she gets her shot, she's going to show them all what's what. And she does get her shot in season two. And I think she blows it. I think she took a lot of missteps. A lot of things backfired for Shiv in season two.
Okay, what was her biggest misstep?
I'm trying to remember her name, but she brings in, doesn't she bring in that lady who Logan ends up having an affair with because she thinks that she is going to advise Logan that she would be the best successor, but then she actually just feeds Logan a bunch of bad info about Shiv and makes a play for the position herself.
Yes. I can't remember if Shiv brings her in. If Shiv does, then that's definitely a huge mistake, which she probably did. Like, I'm not saying I think you're wrong. I just can't remember. She also misplayed a conversation with that woman, where that woman was like, hey, Shiv, like, I'll, you know, I can help you take over the company. And then she's like, yeah, that sounds good. And then she went to Logan. Oh, guess what? Shiv said to me, guess what? You've got her now. Dead to right. She's making a move against you.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember how that got initiated, but I felt like she misplayed all the conversations with her. And then another big misstep was when they were at that dinner party with a bunch of influential people, and someone asks the provocative question, like, who's going to replace you, Logan? And Logan kind of dances around it. And at this point, Logan has indicated to Shiv it's going to be here, but it, to me, it felt like a very tenuous promise. It felt like every time something went wrong, he would kind of hint, like, well, I don't know, maybe this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So, A, it didn't seem like a strong promise. B, it was not a public promise. And so she goes something along the lines, oh, why do you have to dance around the bush? It's going to be me. And Logan hated that. That felt like he was undermining his authority in front of all these influential people. It seemed like a very emotional response from Shiv and not a calculated response. And I get how having Logan as your dad and your boss could irritate you and frustrate you. But in this game, I don't think you can make an emotional error like that. I feel like that was a huge miscalculation from Shiv.
I agree it was a miscalculation. I do think it was a strategic miscalculation, though, in that she was trying to get something that was a private and tenuous promise out in the open.
Yes, but I think she immediately regretted it. The very next scene is like Tom going, why did you do that? And she's like, I don't know.
It was a misplay. It was a misplay for sure, and she read the situation, she read Logan wrong, but I do think it wasn't just an emotional thing, it was a, look, until this is articulated out loud, it means nothing. If I put it out there, it's then Logan's either got to shoot it down straight away, or it then becomes a thing.
Hmm.
Like, I think that's what's in her head, right? Like, she's trying to get some form of, like, putting it on the table so it's not something that can be danced around anymore. As you say, she did not read the situation properly and she did regret it straight afterwards. But I think that's what she was pitching for.
Yeah. So there's our four choices. Matt, you're the CEO of Waystar Royco. You're on your deathbed. You got four kiddos looking over you saying, please, Dad, please. Which one do you leave the company to?
Shiv.
Shiv. All right, give me your quick Shiv pitch.
She's recently, despite some of those missteps on the way, I think she's pretty competent. She understands things well. I think she's like, she seems like a very level head to be running the company. I think she, like, a lot of her mistakes seem like strategic and the power struggle mistakes rather than things that would be a huge detriment for the business. Seems like more her just reading her dad wrong is like her problem. I think, you know, when she has to run things, she'd be good. I think she sort of is a good way forward sort of politically. Like, she was working for a more, like, liberal politician. Like, you know, he may have not been wonderful in some ways and stuff like that too, but it shows she's not, like, this ideologue sort of thing. She seems to, you know, does what works. Yeah, no, I think she's just competent, level-headed person to be running the company and is probably often underestimated by people.
Interesting. I would categorize them like this. Connor, not even up for consideration. Roman, dark horse. That would be an offhand pick, but at least is in the discussion. And then Shiv and Kendall are your two real choices. They're by far the most competent applicants.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Kendall. I'm going to go with Kendall because I think he would do a better job. I think he has a better understanding of the game than Shiv. I think he understands his own limitations because of what he's learned from his big failures. Logan says he doesn't have the cutthroat in him, but he did betray his own dad three times now. We had an awesome ending to season 2 where he's been basically out of the game the whole season. And then when he's supposed to go and take the bullet for his dad, he throws his dad under the bus and says, "I'm making a play for the top job." And that was an awesome, awesome moment to finish the season on. Drawbacks, has a drug problem, did kill a guy. I would argue, though, that killing the guy was an accident, whereas Shiv's cheating on Tom and emotional manipulation of Tom, while legally not as bad as killing someone, I would say is morally worse, because it's an intentional decision over an extended period of time over an accident in a vehicle made in a split second decision by Kendall. So
okay, so yeah, we haven't touched on this. So Shiv and Tom have an open marriage.
No. what a Shiv fan you must be. They do not have an open marriage. They have never clearly discussed it, although when getting married, Shiv did not want anything about extramarital affairs being included in their prenup and said, well, nothing's going to happen, but if anything were to happen, we'll deal with it as adults. All right, we don't need to write anything, get the lawyers. We're both adults, we'll deal with it. So she's certainly leaving the door open, and she gave an ambiguous sort of permission for, like, Tom to do something on his bachelor party. But that's very different to both parties understanding, agreeing, and consenting to them both having equal opportunity to treat their marriage as completely open. So I think when Shiv does what she does, it's A, cheating, and then B, when she tries to convince Tom that it was always okay and he should not be upset and would never try to pretend that that was not okay, is super disingenuous and emotionally manipulative.
Okay. So, I think, yes, like, it was not great for her to throw out the idea of an open marriage on the wedding night. And I think Tom actually very succinctly and authentically and competently outlines how that was cruel and unfair to him, I think, in the season final of season two. So I do agree with what Tom laid out there. At the same time, one of the funniest things in season one was when he's on the Bucks night and he was like, like, he said, "Oh, Shiv said, I can do whatever I want tonight. I can, like, you guys are so cool. I'm gonna do what I want." And then someone goes, "Oh, so that means Shiv can do what she wants on a hen's night." So, like, she can do what she wants too. And, like, it just clicked with him that was, like, a thing. And I just love that. That was one of my favorite moments of the series, where just that's registering with him. You go, "Oh, like, she wouldn't want to, right?" Like, and that's why I was sort of like, for me, like, obviously the whole marriage thing, like, has, she's been unfair to him. But that's why there's a bit of me going, "Oh, so when it's him cheating on her, he's happy to accept the hall pass." But, like, it would never occur to him that, like, she should do that. So, like, that gave me a little bit, like, "Oh, this guy's just walking into, like, he deserves this. This guy," not saying the whole marriage thing, but, like, the whole open marriage thing. But I think, like, some of that premarital adultery, I think he sort of walks into a little bit by being so eager to accept her offer of, like, you know, you got to pay the piper.
Look, I'm offering no defense of Tom, okay? It's not... I'm not on Tom's side. I don't like Tom. It's not a case that if Shiv's in the wrong, Tom must be in the right. Don't really care for either of them. Not really sure why they're getting married. I'm just saying that I think it reflects poorly on Shiv. And look, it's a tough choice, but I'm sticking with Kendall. Kendall ended season two strong. I think Kendall's looking good going into season three.
Whatever your moral views are on Shiv's, like, marital things, does not really speak to her competence of running a company, and might even in some ways highlight her killer instincts and, like, coldness that she has to run a company at the highest level. Like, you're going to say, like...
Oh, it's my company. I can use whatever parameters I like. If I could leave it to the kid that can jump the highest. It's my company. I'll choose whatever rules I want to.
Yeah, because look, I'm not saying I'd marry Shiv. I'd get her a company. Like, what yeah. she does in her relationship. I also just say that Bucks Party episode, I loved how, and I won't go into the details now, but I love how Tom did something with one of the girls, with a girl at the Bucks Party that he thought was a super cool thing to have done. And every time he retells it, like, he realizes more each time that it's not as cool as he, like, thought it was at first. So they're just, like, each time he says it, there's slightly less enthusiasm.
It's like, yeah, it goes from, like, this happened to, like, this happened to, like, this happened.
Yeah. And even the last one, there's, like, a slight inflection. I think the actor played it so well. Slight inflection that's sort of like, hopefully it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's not 100% sure it was a bad thing. Like, like, going, oh, maybe, just maybe. Yeah, but anyway. I think, as you highlighted, there are two big moves at the end of the season. I think there's a Shiv move, which is she hears that this whole controversy is going to blow up with the cruise liners. And they say, you need to tell Kendall. And she goes, let it Kendall just enjoy his birthday party. Let Logan just enjoy his birthday party. He doesn't need to know about this. So it means he announces the new CEO, this woman who stabbed Shiv in the back. And now she's the one who has to deal with the whole cruise ship sex scandal blowing up in her face. So, like, I think that was a smart move by Shiv. That was her, after a lot of misplays, at the end she realises, hey, a storm's coming and I can, like, the best move here is to not do anything and just let the new CEO have to deal with it. And then there's what you said, the Kendall's big move, which is stabbing his dad in the back at the very end and using the information that Greg has held on to do that.
Yeah, it was a great sort of final episode where you have, I think you have everyone on the boat and there's basically like a survivor type episode of like who needs to go. And everyone's like, who's it going to be? I'm going to partner up with this person to take down this person or pitch that I need to stay or whatever. And he makes the decision, Logan makes the decision and sort of Kendall like agrees to it. It's like, it's going to be me. I will be like the sacrificial lamb. And you think, man, Kendall's just felt so low about himself, what he's done. He's just kind of like throwing himself on the grenade. And in the final scene of the season, he turns it around. It was a trap. He lured him into it. It was a ploy. He gets in front of the cameras and he doesn't dive on the grenade. He pushes Logan onto, I was going to say onto the bus, but I'm like, oh, too many metaphors. Anyway, pushes his dad in front of the bus, pushes his dad on top of the grenade, says, this is what happened. He knew about it the whole time. He covered it up and fireworks go off. End of season two.
Well, yeah, it's pretty nice. Now, I thought this was going to happen Not like at the beginning of the season or anything. I'm not lying. Good at predicting stuff. But when he has that last conversation with Logan, right? And he says to, like, and Logan, he goes, Dad, why was I never good enough for the company? Why were you never going to give me the, were you ever going to let me run the company? And his dad goes, you just don't have that killer instinct, son. You're not brutal enough. Yeah, you're just weak. Like, why are they being honest, Dad? And then his dad makes a biblical reference, does it? No. Then he kisses his dad on the cheek. The sign of betrayal of Judas, who kissed Christ on the cheek to hand him over to the authorities. And I thought this, gonna, this is one, that symbol, but two, his dad like almost gave him every reason to do it, right? Because I'm assuming his dad's gonna be mad now, but like, he would just say, well, Dad, you just said my big problem, my big weak, the reason I couldn't run the company was because I didn't have the killer instincts. Look how much I got it, Dad. Thanks for the advice.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Logan, a part of him, has got to be impressed.
Yeah, there's got to be some respect there. Don't know how I'll express that.
Yeah. But, boiling rage. If I know Logan... unfettered anger.
Yeah. Probably some power move against Kendall. It's like, you know, you are worthy of me being angry at you and trying to take you down.
Yeah, board set up for some interesting moves in season three. Logan and Kendall going head to head. How Shiv gonna play this when she was promised, but it looks to be like a pretty weak promise to succeed.
Well, now the person who made a promise to Shiv is taking the fall for the cruise liner.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, as long as nothing happens to him legally, public perception doesn't really matter if it's his own company and he gets to pick. If he gets to pick the successor, I don't know how much board support he needs.
I don't think you have on private yet, though. I thought they killed the private deal or something.
That's a good question. But yeah, it might be a problem for Shiv no matter what, but it definitely becomes an even bigger problem if Logan gets in legal trouble. If he gets forcibly removed by the government, then yeah, Shiv has a much lower sort of leverage in terms of getting that position if Logan was the one lobbying for her.
Yeah. Might be time to call up those dodgy dudes in Dubai or wherever and accept that money.
Yeah, mate.
Time for Logan to pick up the phone.
This is where Roman sneaks in. He's like, hey, everyone else took each other out. I just messed around for a while, showed up at the right time. All I had to do is just be better than Connor.
Yeah. That is your survivor, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, if I get to the end with someone worse than me, yeah. I would.
So there you go. There's Succession, season one and two. Should we give a quick screen verdict?
Yeah, I think so. I'll start. I think it's such a great series, great ensemble, interesting story. I think at times it might lag a little bit, but no, it's a good pace. It's still the episode's really good. I think the hard thing is, and this isn't, I don't know how much to affect my score with this, but there is no one super likable in it. So some episodes can be hard to know where you're meant to be, who you're meant to be rooting for, which is actually a good thing. It adds some ambiguity to the series and some interest, and it means we're not all doing the same thing. It also can make it a hard show to enjoy at times too. I like, people was really blowing up about this show in season two. Succession is getting so good, it's wonderful, all this sort of stuff. I'll be honest, I sort of thought both seasons were pretty consistent. Like, it's not like I enjoyed season two a lot more than season one. I think maybe the ending of season two is a little bit better. I'll give both seasons an 8 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10 for each season.
Interesting. Yeah, I pretty much agree with your take. I think it's a very intriguing show, very well written, very well acted. It's a little slow at times. It's very talky, but there are enough moves to kind of keep the pace going. In season two, there's a lot of location changes. I think they realized, hey, this is kind of just a show about, you know, powerful people talking in rooms. let's at least make it a castle in Scotland or a boat on the French Riviera or wherever they go. At least visually it gets a little bit more diverse in season two. And I agree. I feel like it was pretty consistent. I feel like both of them ended strongly, but season one was kind of like a depressing ending, whereas season two is more of a like a yeah, here we go type ending. I don't think one was necessarily better than the other. They were both pretty unexpected, pretty good conclusions to the arc of each season. Matt, we were almost. I shouldn't have said that. Because if I pick 8.5, it's going to look like I'm doing it to agree with you. Because we often in somewhat agreement, but I don't think there's ever been a time where you were like 8 for season 1, 8 for season 2, and I've been like 8 for season 1, 8 for season 2. And that was what I was thinking in my mind, but then I was also like maybe 8.5, and then you went from 8 to 8.5, and I was like, am I doing it because it deserves an 8.5, or am I doing it because I want it to line up with Matt just because that would be kind of cool. You know what? I'm going to give the show an 8, but it gets an extra half a point for how good the theme song is. So there you go. 8.5, season 1 and 2 of Succession.
The score's great. That composer does a very good job. So there we go. So we're in agreement. I hope that lines up well with other shows, like we've given reviews for the past 12 months. Like I should have a list of what I've given everything as a baseline.
I think so. Well, we'll see when we do our screen verdict awards. No guarantees, but looking at that, that looks like it could be a nominee. That's a pretty strong score. May win, may not win, but I'm thinking there's a good chance it gets nominated. So,
yeah, I would think that is likely. So, I just can't think of any shows where we're both given that higher number to, and just in my head, I feel like if it's an 8, it probably lands on both of our lists. Like even if it's 8, so I know we gave it 8.5, but I think even an 8, I don't think I'd have more than 5 shows that I'd give an 8 to this past year. Maybe you're different, so I guess if you have more shows that you give an 8 to, it might miss out on your top 5 or 6, and then it's only on my list. And if there's, I only get 1 or 2 slots to fill. I guess that's the one scenario it misses out, I think.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. Our screen verdict awards will be coming soon. Let us know what you thought of Succession, facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast, and let us know if there's any other shows or films that you'd like to us to review that have either come out recently or going to come out soon, and we'll get on top of that for you.
Yes, Succession! Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. It doesn't sound anything like it's supposed to when I sing. I think it's because of the bass. I think it's the bass and the piano combination, but I'm just trying to do the piano.
It's hard to sing classical orchestral music. Like, it's not like one guitar riff or something.
Dan, 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 dan. Yeah, it's so much easier to do Smoke on the Water than the Succession theme song. Anyway, we liked it. Check it out.
We're done.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
There you go.